Thank you, Pastor Wood. Thank you. We've been looking forward to being here. Take your Bibles with me. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And that was wonderful, Brother Muscott. How many of you are glad you're in the mission field of Greenville? Amen. Very good. Well, I'm glad you're here too. Somebody's got to do it right. Well, go with me, please. Acts chapter 16. And let's begin reading here. We're well into, in Acts chapter 16, the missionary adventures of the Apostle Paul. And we come here to a pivotal time in the missionary journey. And let's begin reading Acts chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, and she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Would you mark this phrase, one phrase in verse number 14, where the Bible says, Whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. And if you want a title for the message this evening, it'll be this, Closed Doors and Open Hearts. Closed doors and open hearts. We come here to this missionary team of the Apostle Paul and this group, and they're launching out into a new area, but we like to focus on the open heart. We like to focus on the lady who comes to know Christ, and we should here in the city of Philippi. But what leads up to this point? There's the Lord is at work all through this time to see this lady, Lydia of Thyatira, to come to know the Lord. If you'll make note of some of these things, I think the Lord is working on her behalf behind the scenes to see that she comes to know the Lord. Would you write down a few things if you're taking notes this evening? Would you write this down first of all? Number one, Paul was prepared. Paul was prepared. If Lydia is going to be saved in Philippi by a riverside, there's preparation that's got to go on in the work of the heart of the soul winner first. I hope we've got a church of soul winners here. You say, well, I go out when the church goes out. Well, good, but every time we go out is an opportunity to be a soul winner. I was out Friday, and I was door knocking. We went to a door. Two young men came to the door, and I said, man, I'm Pastor McElreath from City Baptist Church. We were down in the Vine City neighborhood, which is a neighborhood right by our church. And I said, what's your names? And the first one said, I'm 7. And the second man said, I'm 8. And I said, well, where's 9 and 10? They said, oh, well, 9's actually at work. I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, men, let me talk to you a little bit. Of course, they were just using, that wasn't their real names. And I began to talk to him and give the gospel, talk about the Bible. And the one young man said, you won't believe this, but I just got off the phone with my mom 45 minutes ago. She lives in Detroit, Michigan. I moved down here to Atlanta, and she told me I need to get into a church. And I told her, well, God's going to have to send somebody by here to show me where to go to church, because I don't know where to go to church, and I don't know where a church is. And he said, I had much gotten off the phone with her, and you come knocking on my door and told me where your church is. I called him, I texted him, I said, now look, I'm going to go pick you up for church. I said, I want you ready, 9:05, I'm going to be at your house. He said, all right. He said, my name is Justin, by the way. I said, yeah, I didn't think it was 8. Well, Justin came Sunday morning, came to Sunday school. In fact, he dressed up. He looked really nice. And he said, now, Pastor, I've been in church before. He said, I don't have a church home. I don't have a church home anywhere. Can this be my church home? I said, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that, Justin. He knows the Lord. He's saved. And I said, let's do that. But you know what it was? The Lord had to do a work in my heart first to go reach Justin and find him. I had no idea what was going on the other side. I had no idea what was going on in his life, what was going on the phone with his mother. Would you look with me as we think about Paul was being prepared? Look down at verse number 1 here in Acts chapter 16. You see, Paul was prepared by providing laborers. It says here in verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And do you know what happened in Derbe and Lystra to the Apostle Paul? Anyone remember? He stoned in Derbe and Lystra. He's left for dead at Derbe and Lystra. But what comes out of that hardship and that trial? Would you look with me at the last part of chapter 16 and verse 1? And behold, a certain disciple was there named what? Timotheus. This is Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess that believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, if you looked at Timothy and you saw, well, you know, Timothy, his dad's a Greek, he's a pagan, he's an idol worshiper. But you know, his mother's gotten saved, and she knows the Lord. I wonder if anything will ever come of Timothy. You know what's happening? The Lord's working in Timothy's life, and God's working in Paul's life, and he brings them together, and he's preparing Paul, how? By providing laborers. Out of one of the darkest times in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, he raises up a Timothy. Look down with me, please, at verse number 4. It says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and they were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches, what's that next word? Established in the faith and increased in number daily. Do you notice here the order in verse number 5? It says, first they were established, secondly they increased in number. Sometimes we like the increase in number first, and then we want to worry about the establishing next, right? But you know what God's order is? An establishing work. A maturing work, a growing work deep on the inside. You know how the Lord is providing for Paul? He's providing through laborers, but also we find he's preparing churches here. He's getting a church ready to launch out and to reach the people that it's responsible for. I ask you this evening, as we think about this mission conference, I've enjoyed being here already. What work is God doing in this place? Now, I'm all for going to Guyana. Someone needs to go and take this port ministry over. Amen? Amen. But God is doing a work in the heart of an individual. He's doing a work in the heart of churches, because on another continent, when we come later in this chapter, there's a lady that needs to be reached with the gospel. You see, Paul was prepared, but would you make note of a second thing as we look at this passage? Secondly, Paul was prevented. Would you look down at verse number 6 with me, please, in Acts 16? The Bible says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were, what's the next word there? Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they're on this missionary journey. They're working their way through what we know today as Asia Minor. And he says, we went throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and God stops us. We're forbidden to go any further in Asia. Now, that doesn't mean they're just to sit down and do nothing. What do you think Paul did? He said, well, if we're not supposed to go north, what will we do? We'll go south. It says in verse number 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. You know what that means? The word suffered here literally means to permit, to leave alone. It's like an interjection that says, stop it right there. Paul's trying to go one way, God closes a door, and so he says, well, let's try another way. Goes another way, God closes a door. Keep reading with me. Look at me, please. At verse number 8, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. You know, sometimes there are divine stops, but divine stops should always lead us to divine starts. A divine stops never give us license to sit down and stop working and stop following the Lord. God says, I don't want you going that way. That's all right. I don't want you going this way. Okay, but I'm going to direct you. Paul is prevented here. They walked through every open door. And you know what I think Paul? I think Paul was the kind, he would walk through every open door, and if he wasn't sure if a door was going to open, I think he turned the knob and jiggled the handle a little bit. I think he leaned on the door a little bit. If we're not careful, we'll be the kind of people that'll say, well, we tried. I guess God's not doing anything here anymore, right? He says, No, we're going to keep finding out where God is leading us. He's prevented here. Why? Because God is trying to get him in the right direction. Look at me, please. At verse number 8, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now this is not a vision like many people I talk to tell me they have today. I talk to people and they've had all kind of visions and dreams and all kind of things. God hasn't completed his word. He still works through visions at this time. Of course, any vision that Paul would have must line up with the word of God. But it says he comes to him as in a vision in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, Paul is in Asia. Macedonia is where? Macedonia is in Europe. This is not just the next county over. This is not just the next road on the map. This is going across a body of water. This is going to a place where the gospel, as far as we know, has not gone before. You see, Paul is prepared and then Paul is prevented. Ultimately, it's leading to this. Paul is prompted. God says, I don't want you going into Bithynia. I don't want you going into Mysia. I want you going into Macedonia. Well, Lord, I don't think the gospel has gone into Macedonia before. I don't know how receptive those people will be. How many missionaries have turned back because they thought, well, I don't know that place is conducive for a church. Let me tell you something. If a church is needed there, it's conducive for a church. You know what we do often? We'll say, well, Lord, I know I should witness to that person. I know I should speak to that person, but I don't know that they're ready to listen. I was reading something recently, and it was talking about pre-evangelism. It was talking about how we need to work to influence society and influence culture and movies and all of these things to get people ready for evangelism. Look, if they're breathing, they're ready for evangelism. I'm not for pre-evangelism. I'm just for evangelism. You know what pre-evangelism is, I'm afraid? It's just an excuse. We go to a neighborhood and we say, I don't know if these people will listen. We say, well, I don't know if the people down that street are ready to hear. Yes, God is ready for them to hear. And he speaks to a servant. And I want you to look at verse 9, this man of Macedonia. He prays and he says, come over into Macedonia and help us. How many people, I think about this testimony we heard from this missionary just a moment ago. A people who built a church. They built a building. And they said, we're praying somebody will come and be a pastor. And somebody will come and bring Bibles. And there's a man in Macedonia. And he's saying, someone come. And thankfully there's an ear of a Christian who's listening, and he's ready to obey, because look with me in verse number 10. He says, and after he had seen the vision, he wrote a pros and cons chart and pinned it up on the wall to see what he should actually do. No. And after he had seen the vision, he decided to take some time to truly think over it, whether this was the vision that he had for his own life. No. And after he had seen the vision, God speaks to him. God is leading in his life. What's the next word? Immediately. Say the word again. Immediately. How does Paul react to the leading of the Lord in Acts chapter 16? He acts immediately. And we find here it says, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia. Do you know what time is? Time is the hardening agent of the heart. Time when God is moving and God is speaking. Your pastor talked earlier just a few moments ago about allowing God just to stab us in the heart. You know what he's saying? Being sensitive to the moving of the will of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. It's when we're out in public and we have a conversation with someone and God tells us, you need to give them a gospel tract and invite them to church. And we wait just a moment. You realize we just have to wait a second or two and we let it pass, right? And we don't feel so bad about it. And God says, you know, you should talk to that person. You know, that person needs the gospel. You know, you haven't invited your neighbor to church. You haven't talked to them about the Lord. But we can wait just a little bit. We don't have to do it immediately, right? They're still going to be living there tomorrow. But every time we stop and every time we pause, what happens? we grow a little more hardened to the moving of the Spirit of God. And it says here, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Look at this in verse 10. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He says, you know, we're convinced of one thing. God wanted us there. Amen. And look, if God has you in a place, you know what the greatest thing you can be assured of? That place needs the gospel. I've read lots of mission books, and we have lots of missionaries here, and they probably all read lots of mission books. And you'll read some interesting things in mission books. People will talk about how you need to go into an area and find out what that place needs and find out if it needs a school or if it needs a shelter or if it needs a reading center, if it needs tutors. And they'll say, you find out what that place needs, and then you meet that need. Here's what every community needs. Here's what Greenville needs. Here's what Guyana needs. Here's what Mehmet, Cambodia needs. Here's what the Czech Republic needs. Here's what 10th Street in downtown Atlanta needs. It needs a gospel preaching, Bible teaching, church. And Paul says, I am assured that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel unto them. Wherever you go, you can be assured of this one thing. That place needs the gospel. Would you look at me at verse 11? He says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a, read those next two words out loud, straight course. You know what that means? That I've connected that with the word immediately in verse number 10. They didn't play around. They didn't kick around the edges of the shallow part. They jumped right in the deep end. He says, and therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and next day unto Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi. I like this in verse 12. He says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. He says, you know what? If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. If we're going to do this, we're going to go into Macedonia, we're going to go into the biggest, baddest, worst city we could go into. We may even go into Philippi. And he says, we're going to reach those people with the gospel. You see, Paul was prepared. Paul was prevented, but Paul is prompted and he acts upon the prompting of the Holy Spirit. God is working in his heart, and little does he know, all the way down in Philippi, there's Lolo Lady where God is working in her heart. Would you look at me at verse number 13? It says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Now, if you're familiar with the missionary journeys of Paul, where is he usually going to go on the Sabbath day? He's going to go down to the synagogue. Why? Because there would have been enough people in that city to where they would have established a synagogue. And down in the synagogue is where there are God seekers. They're looking for the truth. They're seeking the Lord. He's going to go down there and he's going to dispute with them and read the scriptures with them. And he's going to ask questions and answer questions with them. Well, why doesn't he go to the synagogue in Philippi? There's no synagogue. Well, why doesn't he go down and meet with the believers in Philippi? There's no church in Philippi. The gospel hasn't gone to Philippi. You know, sometimes we get the idea, we say, you know, there's a story many years ago, David Livingston, he traversed the continent of Africa for science, looking for the source of the Nile, but also bringing the gospel with him, fighting the slave trade, all of that. And a young man wrote him and said, Mr. Livingston, tell me the way to get to Africa. He said, I won't tell anyone the way to get to Africa. Make a way and get there. Amen. And you know what? If Paul would have just said, well, who's gone before us and what have they done? No one's gone before them. It hasn't been done. And if we're looking for someone to follow, we're looking for, well, let me see, how did someone else do this and how did that turn out? And then I'll figure out how I want to do it. No. God says go. We say, yes, sir. Where do you want me to go? I'm going immediately. Paul shows up. There's no believers. There's no church. There's no synagogue. As far as he knows, no one in Philippi is seeking God. And as far as he knows, no one in Philippi wants to know about his God. Paris Reed had, many years ago, was a missionary in Africa. He preached a message you may have heard of called 10 Shekels in a Shirt. And he said, I went to Africa thinking I'm going to bring the gospel and people are going to be waiting on the shore, waiting for me to, you know, bring it to them. They've just been waiting for me to show up. He said, I got there. His wording was, I found monsters of iniquity. that wanted nothing to do with what I was preaching, nothing to do with this God I was going to tell them about. And here we find Paul shows up in Philippi. Nobody seemingly wants what he's got. But would you look with me, please? It says in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city, down by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." Paul says, well, if there's no church meeting going on, let's just go have a church meeting down by the riverside. He says, "And we sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted thither." You see, you would go out that day in Philippi and you would think, this is like any other day in Philippi. You may go out that day in Philippi and think, well, there's nothing new going on in Philippi. The ladies are down and they're washing the clothes down by the river. What man is going to show up here and go down and talk to those ladies? At this time in ancient history, they would have been, no one would have thought anything about this. And it says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira." You know what's interesting about Thyatira? Thyatira is back in Asia where Paul was told, "I don't want you to go there." Thyatira is back in the areas where Paul had been prevented from going to. You know why? Because Lydia wasn't there. Lydia was in Philippi, down by a river where prayer was wont to be made. And it says here she's there, and it says in verse 14, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God." Now, this lady is not a Christian. She does not know the Lord as her Savior. But she is seeking the one true God. She is looking for the truth. I think about the testimony of Brother Blake and these people looking for the truth. And if our spiritual eyes were open, you know what we would find all around us? People looking for the truth. Amen. People who have heard a piece here and a piece there and a piece there. We had a young lady come just a few months ago. And she showed up on a Sunday morning. She was a student at the Georgia State University where the Lord has put us. We're in downtown Atlanta. We're across the street from Georgia Tech campus. Literally, you walk out our foyer, you cross 10th Street, you're on Georgia Tech campus. You go a mile and a half east of where we're at, you're on the Georgia State University campus. She drove from Georgia State University, came the morning service. We met her, spoke with her. She heard the preaching, heard the gospel. She came back second Sunday, same thing. Came back third Sunday. Third Sunday, we give gospel invitation, of course. And the gospel invitation, she raised her hand. She does not know the Lord. She wants to be saved. Comes forward. My wife leads her to the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. We began talking to her. And she said, "I grew up in an atheist home. I'd never been to church." She said, "I saw someone when I was 10 years old praying over their food in public. And she said, I came home, we were eating watermelon, and I prayed over my watermelon. My dad said, what are you doing?" She said, "I don't know, I just saw someone do this." But she said, "From that moment on, I said, I want to find out what this is." Amen. And she said, "I decided when I go to college and I'm on my own, I'll go to church." You know what she did? She got on Google. Thank the Lord for Google SEO. She got on Google and she just looked up church. She didn't know the difference between any kind of church. Found a church, City Baptist Church, thank the Lord she did, and she showed up. Amen. As you heard the gospel. And she was someone whose heart the Lord opened. We didn't even know she was looking. And she said, "I know I need to be saved." Come to find out, she was with us for 6 weeks. She was transferring to the University of Georgia at the end of the semester. We had a window. We had a window about that big to reach her with the gospel. And now she knows the Lord as a personal Savior, went through discipleship, and now she's following the Lord with her life. But we just had one tiny sliver of time that was open to us to reach her with the gospel. There was a lady, my wife teaches English as a certified TESOL instructor, and she came for a Thursday night English class. She said, "I got one of your flyers for the English class, and I've come." And she said, "It's okay if I bring my baby." We said, "That's fine." And she said, "Well, can you show me, what did she say? Can you show me where you wash?" Is that what she said? Yes, she said, "I want to convert to Christianity," which we were like, wow, okay. Well, that was fast. Great. She said, Where's the sanctuary? She came in the sanctuary. She had her baby with her. She was holding the baby up like she was trying to catch something. And my wife said, what are you doing? She said, "Well, is this where you wash or is this where you eat the bread?" And so my wife realized what she was saying. She said, "Well, Well, yes, we do that here. That's communion and the Lord's table and baptism. And she was talking to her about that. But my wife began to give her the gospel. And as she gave her the gospel, my wife was like, well, this is going to be easy. I mean, she's ready to be saved. She said, do you want to accept Christ as your Savior? She said, no. My wife thought, okay. She said, well, if God has forgiven me of all my sin, then I'm going to have to forgive people that have hurt me of the things they've done against me. I can't accept that. Look, she understood salvation a whole lot better than a lot of people maybe in this church building understand. Months and months and months of getting the gospel. Months and months and months. She's from China. She's from an atheist country. Never been to church, knows nothing of church. She said, after speaking with her at length, she said, I'm a victim of the one child policy, but I was the second child. My family couldn't have me, so they sold me. She said, I grew up with a mother. I didn't know she wasn't my mother. I thought this was my mother, and then that woman sold me. And then the other woman that I had, she was very mean to me, and then I realized once I was an adult, this was not my mother. And she'd gone through all these abuses all through her life. She said, I could never forgive these people what they've done to me. And then she came to us months and months and months later. She said, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm saved. You know what that is? That's someone whose heart the Lord opened. That's not something you and I can do. It's not something you and I can manufacture. You know what it is? It's God's working in a soul winner's heart. And God bringing them together with someone that He's been working on all along. And here we find, you know what this finally is? Paul, he's prepared and then he's prevented and then he's prompted. But you know what finally we find here in this passage? Paul is prospered. He's prospered with a soul that comes to know Christ as a Savior. And we find here it says, this woman named Lydia in verse 14, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You ever been witnessing to someone and they're attending unto the things which you spoke? They just hear it. They're taking it in. They're ready. And God has gotten this woman ready. And I ask you this evening, are you ready to give the gospel to someone who's ready to receive it? Amen. Now, you know what that means? You know what that means? That's carrying gospel tracts. That's having them ready. That's taking this church's gospel tracts. You know what? We should find all over Greenville, you know what they should find? Choice Hills Baptist Church gospel tracts. I mean, this pastor should get calls about all the litter that's out because there's so many Choice Hills gospel tracts all over this city. There's places we go into the worst neighborhoods. I'll show you a picture after church if you want to see it. I was door knocking Friday. I took a picture of it. There was a bullet hole through the door and through the glass door, and it was lodged in the side of the house. I took a picture and sent it to my wife. That always makes her feel really good about my door knocking. We go into these kind of neighborhoods, and you know what? We'll door hang in a neighborhood, and then we'll come back a few weeks later, and we'll knock on the door and say, hey, we left something on your door. We're just following up on it. And we'll pass by doors, abandoned houses. We didn't know they were abandoned. And I'll see, weeks ago we were there, and there's a door hanger on the door, City Baptist Church. And I just think, I'm going to leave it there. You know why? Because I want somebody to know there's a church in this city that's after this neighborhood that's responsible for these people. You know what a church is? A church is not a place where we say, all right, all you sinners, come here. No, no, no. It's all the saints saying, let's go out and find them. It's a church saying, I'm responsible for this place. I'm responsible for this road. I'm responsible for this neighborhood because there's people there whose heart the Lord has opened. He said in Acts chapter 18, you know what the Lord told Paul? Would you turn over there with me, Acts chapter 18? Look at verse number 10. Acts chapter 18, verse 10. God says, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And you know what God is telling us, His people? I have much people in this city. And they're people that I've been working on. They're people that I've been dealing with. Any soul we lead to Christ, that's a soul God's already been working on. And He says, I'm just looking for a Paul to move when I say move, to act when I say act, and to be ready to give them the gospel. I'll do the work. I just need a faithful soul winner to go and find those whose heart the Lord has opened. Would you bow your head, close your eyes with me this evening as we think about these things? We think about these closed doors and these open hearts.